This is Equestrian Legacy Radio's Saddle Up America, and I'm Gary Holt. Joining me today is my beautiful and talented co-host, Tina Mae Weber. Good morning, Tina.
Good morning, Gary.
And how are things in the great state of Missouri this Tuesday morning?
Cold, but good. Things are great.
Good deal, good deal. Well, we're going to have a fun show. We've got a lot of stuff to talk about. So tell us who we have joining us today.
Well, on today's show, we have our own Trailmeister, Robert Eversole. He is with us every second Tuesday. Then we travel to the Shawnee National Forest in Eddyville, Illinois, and talk with Dick Manders, owner of Bear Branch Ranch Resort.
All right, so that's going to be a lot of fun talking with. What is our own Trailmeister? What would that be?
Well, that would be Robert Eversole, and he is our own. He's got a wonderful site. You're mean. You're absolutely mean. He does a scene, folks. He throws in this little winger.
Oh, gosh. Well, it almost sounded.
He has got a wonderful webpage.
Well, he does have, but it almost sounded like some kind of a toaster there for a minute you were talking about with the Trailmeister. But Robert's not a guest. He's just a regular, and he's part of our family, so we always enjoy having Robert on the second Tuesdays of each month. And it's going to be fun to talk about things that are going on up in the Shawnee National Forest. I'm real excited, Tina Mae, and I don't know about you, but we have a new sponsor for Saddle Up America. And that's Trail Guard Roadside Travel Assistance. Trail Guard was founded with one mission in mind, and that's guarding you down life's trails. So learn more today at trailguard.org and find out how you can have peace of mind with Trail Guard as you hit the trails. And then, as always, the Saddle Up America program is made possible by our sponsors at the General Store, where you'll find everything for the horse lover and folks that just love the equestrian lifestyle. And you can visit the General Store on our website at equestrianlegacy.net. So grab a cup of coffee if you haven't already, and when we come back, we're going to be talking with our own Trailmeister, so we'll see what he has to say about that. But Robert Eversole will be joining us in just a moment. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net.
I want to saddle my horse in the darkness, ride out in the morning dew. I want to breathe some air that's never been breathed. I want to drink the wine of freedom, toast the good ones that we knew. I want to count a million stars and think of you. Want to see one more hometown rodeo, or his hat's off for the flag. We'll cheer that bucking horse in the wild ride. I want to shoot a hole in my TV set and let the silence ring on through. I want to count a million stars and think of you. Don't tell me that the West is dead and gone. My poor heart can't stand to hear that saddle song. If you're saying that you missed it all, I bet that you're wrong. Don't tell me it's dead and gone. Want to see one more Charlie Russell print in some old sale barn cafe, where the old men over coffee tell their tales. I want to ride out with a wagon, smell the scent of springtime sage. I want the wind at my back on down the trail. Want to see suntan, cowgirl cheeks, and long braids neath the hat. Want to hear the summer rain on the roof at a country dance. Then we'll ride out our raging storm till the light comes shining through. And then I count a million stars and think of you. Don't tell me that the West is dead and gone. My poor heart can't stand to hear that saddle song. If you're saying that you missed her all, I'm betting that you're wrong. Don't
W. Hampton, and that's Don't Tell Me, and our own Trailmeister is here. Robert, welcome to the show this morning.
Thanks for having me. I want to shoot a hole in my TV set and let the silence ring on through. What a great line for the song.
That is a great line. And, hey, I've got a question for you to start out this segment. And that is, how is Boo doing?
Boo is a monster. Boo is a monster, and he is on his second puppy class.
Oh, great.
We went through one, and we did okay, but we started our second puppy class actually last night. So we're going to practice coming when called. He seems to think that's a great game. You know, let's run away from Daddy.
Does Boo have a mind of his own?
Boo has a whole bunch of minds of his own, I think.
He's going to be a great dog someday.
He's coming along. He's 17 pounds now.
Wow.
And and when there are no distractions, he behaves wonderfully.
Well, cool.
But
now,
when there are distractions, well, it's a different story.
Yeah, well, are you getting to sleep a little later? Are you sleeping later now?
A wee bit. He's decided that he can go from about 10 o'clock at night till about 4:30 in the morning.
All right. You're getting there.
So, it's much better than the every 2 hours.
All right. Well, anyway, we want to keep up with Boo, so I hope you keep posting pictures to your Facebook page.
Oh, heavens yes.
Yeah, so
he's cute, and he knows it.
Yeah, well, I'm sure Dad doesn't help keep him in check that much, you know. And Celeste, I'm sure, loves on him a lot, so that's cool. Hey, interesting topic today, and I know Tina was real excited when I told her what we were going to talk about, but that is things not to do over the winter.
Exactly. Well, you know, with winter months coming in, you know, whether we like it or want to admit it or not, a lot of times we might not have that opportunity to hang out with the beast as much as we'd care to, and you know, you see a lot of stuff around. You know, these are the things you need to do over the winter time. And I was, you know, getting ready to write my column for Western Mule magazine, so I thought I'd just go out and talk with the ponies and kind of see their ideas. So we had a chat, you know. I had to interpret their neighs and knickers. and so kind of some of the things that, hey, Trailmeister, hey, Robert, don't do this to us this year. And so it just kind of came up with a fun little list of things, you know, that the ponies want us to keep in mind and you know, to make their winter, you know, safe and as enjoyable as possible as well.
Well, what did they have to say?
A whole bunch of stuff. Some of it I can't repeat. the biggest thing that you know, they wanted me to consider was, you know, hey, we know that you're cheap, and we know that you like to save energy, but put a heater in our tank. And so, you know, not letting that water freeze, that fresh, open water, I think is a real important thing. And so, gosh darn it, I spent the $40 and put a tank heater in. And, you know, every year until I put that tank heater in, Celeste's little horse, the little Icelandic, the one I call the circus pony,
Right.
Every year before I put that tank heater in, she would colic, and she would colic twice a year, when it first got cold and then when it started warming up. She don't like cold water.
Right.
And I've never had that issue ever since I put that tank heater in. And now what I do is I put the tank heater in, you know, first start of fall. Whether they need it or not, they're getting lukewarm water.
Right. Well, that's, you know, a lot of folks have had problems in the last month or so with horses colicking, and that is a big problem this time of year, because horses don't like cold water and they still need to drink a large amount of water. So you got some good advice from the ponies on that.
Yeah. So doing that, and then one of the other things he told me. Now you got to take this with a grain of salt, because LT is known to exaggerate. But he told me, when the temperature gets cold, I need to feed him more. Now, he also told me that I just need to feed him more in general. But the vet said that I need to feed him a little less. So there's a little bit of a discrepancy there.
Right.
But, you know, they're saying that, when the temperature gets cold, he is terrible. He is my chow hound. He is my chow hound, and who can resist the nays and the knickers when you walk out to the barn, you know?
Right.
They give you that nice warm greeting, and don't you just want to feed them a little bit more because, you know, they're just cute as can be?
Well, you do. And, I think we have a tendency to, as people, as humans, to feel like during this cold weather they do need a little bit more, but that's exactly the wrong thing to do. And as
yep.
Tina was saying, just, you know, a lot of hay keeps them warm.
Easy on the grain. Mm-hmm.
And, the same diet of grain, if you're feeding grain. You know, some people don't even feed grain to the horses.
Yeah, we don't feed grain. I guess I should amend that statement. They get a coffee cup, so it's a real scientific measure.
Yeah.
From Stella's Bakery in, I think it was Billings, Montana. But they have an old coffee cup, and they get that full of sweet feed. But I really use that more as a catch grain or a
right.
catch feed, if you will.
Right.
And then Celeste puts the minerals, and so that, you know, it sticks to that nice molasses stuff. So here in Eastern Washington, we have a deficiency of selenium in the soil and the hay, so we have to, you know, amend for that, and then I put some extra biotin and stuff like that for their hoofs. Mm-hmm. So we do give them grain, but it's not a whole bunch. I kind of figure they're not working terribly hard, and, you know, they're not a whole lot of grain baskets out on the prairies where they evolved. So that's kind of my take, but it's certainly not scientific by any stretch.
Right.
I'm not a big
right.
grain feeder. Matter of fact, they don't get regular grain. But what I do is, on occasion when I feed them a little extra, if they're doing a little extra hard work or something like that, I look for a roughage type grain to give to them.
Yes, keep that gut moving.
Mm-hmm.
Keep that gut moving.
And they
moving.
Love it.
Yeah, I had a I've had entirely more visits with my veterinarian. over the past few weeks than I've want. LT has sore feet. So I've had the vet out doing all sorts of tests and things like that on him. And since it's been quite chilly out here, you know, in between blood draws and looking at the horse, we hang out in the heated tack room and drink coffee and shoot the bull. And one of our discussions was, you know, the whole, you know, roughage versus grain kind of thing. And he was very emphatic that, you know, when it's cold, yeah, give them more, but don't give them grain. Give them, mm-hmm. give them roughage, you know, so, it,
right.
you know, they've got, you know, all you know, the gut action, I think, is probably a good way to say it. And that's really produces a lot of heat for them internally.
Right,
so
right.
I thought that was kind of interesting.
All right, and then that goes back to point one, and that is to make sure they have plenty of water that's a tepid temperature for them, so that,
yes.
that they'll drink enough. So, but what else
exactly.
do they have? What else did they have to tell you?
Well, and again, we got to remember this is LT, whose favorite speed is whoa.
Right.
And what he said to me was, "Don't make me work harder than I need to." And so I had him noodle over that. Does that mean not work at all, or does that mean moderate? What does that mean? And he of course, said, well, I'm just supposed to hang out in the barn and eat all that I want. But I kind of talked to the vet, and kind of what we chatted was, you know, when he says don't make me work harder than I can handle, you know, he's got this big, huge furry coat, right? You know, he's all bulked up with hair for the wintertime.
Right.
And so he's going to get sweaty real quick if we work him hard. You know, so in the wintertime, yeah, we need exercise. And by we, I mean the ponies and us.
Right,
But we need to consider, you know, all that heat that we're building up because they are so efficient coats. You know, that fur, gee golly, I think everybody here is on a cold day stuck your hand under a mane, you know?
Right.
And just how warm that is. And their coats are just so efficient, but they can overheat in a heartbeat too. So that was kind of how I interpreted LT's little comment on don't make me, it's not don't make me work, but don't make me work and work up a sweat, you know, that's going to take me a whole long time to cool down from, you know, or indeed, if I'm really sweaty, there goes all my insulation and then I'm cold and now we've got a whole range of other problems, you know.
Right, right.
Well, and we got to keep in mind, of course, you know, heavy snow. It takes a lot of work and a lot of effort to the horse. It's a major workout for them to walk through some deep snow, and so we got to keep that in mind. You may be walking your horse, but he's really putting an effort walking through some snow, if that's the type of riding that you're doing in some heavy snow. So just kind of keep that in
mind.
You
are so right, Tina. You know, too bad we can't put skis on horses.
I don't know that I'd want to.
I'd like to see how they bend and cut with the turns. Would they do telemark or would it be a more alpine? You know, with ponies and the wintertime, you know, it's the whole exercise thing. You know, they need exercise. Heavens, we need exercise. And it's just, you know, we just got to be careful about it and think about it. And then I guess, you know, with the exercise, you know, I don't know about you, but, you know, my big thing is I don't want to get them real sweaty. I just don't like it because trying to dry them out is just miserable. And, you know, there's a real, you know, when it's nasty, nasty outside and the wind's blowing and the snow's coming down, you know, I like being inside by the fire. I mean, don't you guys?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, yeah.
And mm-hmm. and there's a real tendency, especially for me, because I'm a soft-hearted kind of guy, that if I want to be inside by the fire, well, of course the ponies do too, you know. So I'm real tempted to bring them into the nice warm barn and shut those doors, and we can all be nice and toasty. And mm-hmm. and LT was pretty. You know, he said, "Hey, don't do that to me. You might like it, but I don't."
Right,
right.
And
right.
That whole parking him inside that. Yeah,
my horses,
so much.
They got free rein in and out, and they stay outside. And I let them.
Exactly.
Horses. Mm-hmm. I got a good winter coat.
Exactly. Now my guy, now LT, like I said, he's been. I call it Supermax. He's in a big double stall right now because his feet are sore, and he doesn't like that at all. For many can run in and out, and well, right now I'm looking out the window, and we've got a little snow coming down right now, and you would think that she's a two-tone pony, you know, dark bay down below and white along the top. but LT he's in the barn, but I made a big point of making sure that I could have all the doors open, you know, to keep that fresh air in and try to reduce the drafts as much as possible. But he's got that windbreak, and as soon as we get those shoes and snow pads on him on Friday, you know, I know he's going to be happy because, quite frankly, he's getting kind of cranky being stuck in the stall.
Right.
We've had a couple
too.
Discussions. We'll just put it like that.
Well, we don't want... We don't want LP cranky, and we certainly don't want Tina cranky.
No.
So let's do something nice, Tina, and let's give something away.
Oh,
tell
yes.
Us,
I want to
tell
talk
us,
about it.
Tell us about the Legacy Club.
Our Legacy Club is free, It is our way to say thank you to our listeners. The benefits are great. Discounts from our Legacy Club sponsors and select campgrounds and dude ranches. You also automatically get entered into our free prize drawings just for signing up, like our end-of-the-year drawing for a two-horse Hydro Horse system from our premier sponsor, Hydro Horse, and our monthly prize, like this month's $100 gift certificate from our select sponsor, Tucker Tack. And today we have a winner for a hoodie from Lope for Hope, and I'm sure we're going to have to wait, aren't we?
You're going to have to wait. We'll keep people in suspense for just a minute, but we'll take a quick break. And by the way, people can enroll in the Legacy Club at equestrianlegacy.net. We've got folks that are doing that every day, and we're just we appreciate our listeners out there. And again, that's our thank you to you. You get great discounts from all of our Legacy Club sponsors, as well as the weekly, monthly, and annual drawing that we do. And when we come back, we're going to announce the winner for the Lope for Hope hoodie, and we're going to find out more about what LP had to say to the Trailmeister when we come back. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio's Saddle Up America, heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net.
When I was but a young man riding out with my grandpa, learning all I could about the cowboy life I saw. One day it was raining and I started to lament. My grandma taught me something that I never will forget. Never cut the wind or the rain, son. Never cut the wind or the rain. There's times raising cattle when they'll be your best friend. Don't you ever cut the wind or the rain. The rain makes the grass grow tall and feeds the cattle well. How many times I've prayed for rain, the Lord can only tell. And the wind turns the windmill, pumping water from the ground, so the cattle have clear water when the rain clouds can't be found. Never cut the wind or the rain. Never cut the wind or the rain. There's times raising cattle, they'll be your best friend. Don't you ever cut the wind or the rain. I learned a vital lesson from my grandpa that day, one I will remember as I go along life's way. If cattle are to roam the hills and cowboys to make, I'll always remember never cut the wind or rain. Never cut the wind or the rain. Never cut the wind or the rain. Well, there's times raising cattle when they'll be your best friend. Don't you ever cut the wind or the rain. This story forever in my memory will remain. I will never cut the wind or the rain.
That's Jeff Gore's Wind and Rain from his live CD. And Tina May, you got your drum roll ready?
I'm ready.
All right.
I need a set of drums. You guys need to join me on that.
we're gonna have to get a drum sponsor, I guess. But anyway, who is our Legacy Club winner for this week?
Okay, for today, we're giving away a hoodie from Lope for Hope. Today's winner for the Lope for Hope hoodie is Eli Barcy from Canada. Congratulations, Eli.
All right. And, you know, Eli, congratulations to you. And we'll be getting in touch with Eli to let her know about her hoodie and to get her sizes. But Eli is one of our friends from Saskatchewan. And so congratulations to her. Great entertainer. And we've got a lot of folks that are members of the Legacy Club from all across the U.S. and Canada and around the world. So Congratulations to Eli. And remember, you can enroll at EquestrianLegacy.net to be eligible to be automatically enrolled in our drawings and to take advantage of the discounts offered by our great Legacy Club sponsors. But I'm curious, Robert, as to what else LP had to share with you.
Oh, well, you know, he's a bit of a talker, you know. there's always things. He always has some type of comment, you know, either the hay isn't enough, you know, the barn isn't warm enough, the water isn't warm enough. He's always got a comment for me, or I need to lose some weight. So one of the other things we chatted about was, you know, we kind of talked about it before the break in that great Lope for Hope hoodie. You know, anytime you see those pink ribbons with organizations like that, it's just a great thing.
Yes, it is.
But we were talking about, you know that urge to put the ponies in that warm barn just because we, you know, like it warm and stuff. Well, you know, the horses and the mules, they're more adapted towards cold. You know, they like it cool. You know, things that we would consider, you know, it's time to put the sweater on, they're just hanging out. They're enjoying it. And so with blankets, you know, if it's cold out there and I need a jacket, well, doesn't my pony need a blanket? And,
no.
And I know blankets, gee golly, Gary, we may get some phone calls.
Mm-hmm.
Not good ones. But blankets mm-hmm. are such a controversial topic, but I think they're controversial for a reason. You know, there are places where blankets are certainly needed and should be used, and there are times when, you know, do we put blankets on because the animal needs it or because it makes us feel better?
Right.
You know, when I'm cold and I'm bundled up, I've got my ski gloves on and my overalls and my big furry hat. He doesn't need that coat. And so I talked to my vet about that as well over coffee, and he said, you know, unless the animal's shivering or is ill or is very old or very young, he wouldn't recommend the blankets. And I said, why? Why not? It's cold out here. I can see, you know, I can see my breath. I can see LT's breath. He's chilly. And Doc Peters looked at me, and he kind of shook his head. He said, Robert, you're just a soft-hearted fool. He doesn't need a blanket. It's to make you feel better is what you're saying, and it's going to make LT feel worse. And so that got us into a big discussion about loft and our values. And so much more than we can go through here, but in a lot of cases, you know, we put blankets on for the wrong reasons, which is to make us feel better, not the horses. And, you know, for all of our listeners out there, if you're wondering why you're putting the blanket on, if you have that doubt, talk to your vet. They'd love to hear from you. And they'll guide you on the right path. And of course, that's my opinion. Tina May and Gary, I mean, what are your thoughts on blankets? We've got three people here, so I bet we got three different opinions.
I think my personal opinion is I don't use blankets. There is a purpose for the blanket. Sick horses. I did blanket my horse when we had a 35-plus degree drop in temperature in one day because I was traveling. That would be an instance that I would use a blanket because my horse is not acclimated. But overall, I think there is an overuse of blankets. I think people are putting blankets on very healthy horses, and ultimately it's actually causes them to have a weakness because they can't monitor to keep warm. And I wish people would call their vets and ask their vets' opinion, their vets in their area, because that's the next question. They say, well, you don't live in my area. No, I don't live in your area. Call your vet. Your vet's in your area. See what he recommends. And your vet knows your horse. So if there is some special needs, your vet will know if your horse needs a blanket or not. And that would be, don't go to the Internet. Don't go to somebody else's opinion. Find out what's best for your horse. You know your horse better than anybody, and hopefully your vet does too. But just to blanket a horse because there's snow on the ground or it's cold outside, no, I do not blanket my horse. I think it does more harm than good.
You know, I think we're in complete agreement there. And I think LD agrees too. So you know, that's a it's an important thing. You know, and they're great tools when they're warranted, I think. You know, and I guess we should just leave it at that.
Well, I think your vet made a good point, and unless it's an extremely young horse. Well, you are soft-hearted. I mean, you know, just ask Boo about that. You know, he's the one getting you up at 4 a.m. But you know, if you've got an aged horse, you know, they usually need to have a blanket and quite often need to be stabled. I've talked with folks around the country, and that's kind of the consensus for most of those people, that they've got some senior horses, and so they get a little special care and maybe a little extra grain to help them during this cold weather. But for a mature horse, they do very well outside and without the blankets. And, you know, one of the things that we didn't talk about, and we don't have time to talk about that during this show, but some people actually clip their horses during the winter if they're doing a lot of riding. And in those cases, and so in those cases, you know, a blanket would be a necessary thing to include for them. But, you know your horse, know your climate, and be aware of what's going on. If you have some extremes in your weather, it might be a time to do something a little bit differently. But as a general rule, if you keep your horses out on pasture, keep plenty of fresh water, plenty of hay for them to keep warm, and nature takes care of that hair coat, because that's the way that they were put here. So that's kind of my thought on that. Hey, we've got to travel up to the Shawnee National Forest in just a moment. But we're going to go to Illinois. We're going to talk with Dick Manders at Bear Branch Horse Resort. But we want to remind folks that Saddle Up America is sponsored by Trail Guard. Trail Guard is 24-hour roadside travel assistance. And Trail Guard was founded with one mission in mind, and that's guarding you down life's trails. And you can learn more about Trail Guard at trailguard.org. When we come back, we'll be talking with Dick Manders in Bear Branch Horse Resort. We're going to talk about all the great things up in Illinois in the Shawnee National Forest to see and do. And we remind you that you're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net.
You cry.
Michael Martin Murphy's Mountain Storm, and we want to welcome to the show today Dick Manders from Bear Branch Horse Resort in Illinois. And Dick, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Nice to have you, Dick.
Nice to talk to you.
We've got a party on here going on, Dick. We've got
We've got
Robert Eversole, the Trailmeister, with us, and Tina May is on, and we're all eager to find out more about Bear Branch Horse Resort. And it was fun to talk with you yesterday, and you had an interesting story about how you came to own Bear Branch. Can you share that with us?
Yeah, I sure can. Actually, I lived in Wisconsin. I grew up in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and lived in Milwaukee most of my child life. But I eventually, out of college, got involved in a stained glass studio. I had that for 23 years. And with that studio, I had a little bit of freedom. So I got involved in horses actually in my 30s. And there were five of us that traveled quite a bit. We had our own business, so we traveled quite a bit with horses. And I started out with quarter horses, of course, and showing mostly, but took a trail ride one day locally up there and just fell in love with trail riding. So that was really my focus. And up in Wisconsin, we were fighting for trails like we are pretty much all over the country, unfortunately.
Right.
And I was trying to work with the DNR up there and get some trails, some rail trails, and it was a constant battle. So eventually we formed a Horse Trails Council, and I became the president of the Horse Trails Council and was fighting for trails many years ago, and got involved with a was a TV program going on, and I can't remember what the focus of the TV program is right now, but it was at a saddlebred farm, and during a commercial, this was in the spring of the year, I started talking to a young lady that turned out to be the secretary of the Wisconsin 4-H, and she told me about the Shawnee National Forest. She said, "Dick, you would really love this." She said, "I took some 4-H kids to southern Illinois and took them riding on the one-horse gap ride, and she had pictures, and it was just fantastic." And, of course, being from Wisconsin, I thought all of Illinois was like Chicago. So I wasn't all that interested. But turns out the ride was in October, and this TV program was in the spring of the year in 96. So I went back and told my friends about it, and they got all excited because we've ridden quite a few areas, but we had never ridden in Illinois, never even thought about that, other than a few places in Galena area, northern Illinois. But one by one, they all had to drop off out throughout the year because of other commitments. And I ended up actually going myself because I just didn't want to miss it. And met some people there that I knew from other trail rides, so I was really surprised. And the host, Bob Buchanan, was very gracious, and he helped me because I kind of showed up last minute. Didn't have a reservation, and he got me set up, and I just fell in love with the Shawnee National Forest. It's unlike anything I'd ever seen, and pretty much anything in any other state.
Mm-hmm. So it's beautiful riding in the Shawnee.
It really is. Tina, you can vouch for that.
Yes, I can. It's another one of my favorite places to ride, and there's just so much there. So then, what prompted you to end up with Bear Branch?
Well, I like I said, I fell in love with the Shawnee and really decided that someday I was going to live here. And then the next spring, a friend of mine decided he wanted to go trail riding for Easter and take his grandson. So we took his motorhome, and just the three of us went. And, of course, fell in love all over again. And we ended up going to Bear Branch, and it was for sale. So I really thought long and hard and went back and did what I could, and ended up being able to come back and put an offer in.
Awesome.
Over Memorial Day it was. And I got it worked out, so I took over what was there in right before Labor Day in the fall of 97. And at that time,
it was...
Wow,
a great story.
Well, it's totally changed my life.
Well, you're like most campground owners that I know. They didn't grow up thinking one day they were going to own a horse campground, but mm-hmm. I'm sure it's been a life changing experience for you to have been there for the last I guess that's what 17 years now.
It'll be 18 years this year. That's correct.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's pretty.
Gone pretty
that is,
fast.
Well, it does,
that's
doesn't
awesome.
It? Time flies. Time flies. But that's a pretty cool story. That is a pretty
it
cool story.
It is a story. Cool story.
You
well,
could very
our
easily.
Listeners. Sorry, Gary. Go ahead.
No, that's all right. I was just going to say you could very easily have backed out of that trip back in 96 when all of your buddies decided not to make it. So that was fate that was kind of leading you on that journey. So that's pretty neat.
Right. Actually, I did decide to back out, and I went to a ride in northern Wisconsin, over Labor Day of that same year, and met a little girl from a small Wisconsin town, and we were talking about the Shawnee National Forest, and she said, I heard it's fantastic. I'm excited to go there. And I said, well, I really was too. We were just riding together because we both had dogs that we were riding with. And just a little bit of a girl. And I said, well, I planned on going. And I had all my friends signed up. And one by one, they all dropped out. So I'm pretty bummed because I'm not going. And she stopped her horse and looked up at me. And she said, you look like a big boy. Well, that's a good point. She said, why don't you just go by yourself? So I thought about that over the weeks, and just ended up the night before I was at a saddle club meeting and decided I'm going to Shawnee, and
there
went home
go.
And threw my stuff in the trailer and loaded up my horse and went.
There you go.
And
so that
was been the same thing.
That was just fate. That was just fate. Meant to be.
It sure was.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is neat. Well, tell our listeners about your facilities there at Bear Branch.
Okay. Well, we have 80 campsites with hookups.
Mm-hmm.
The camp sits on 55 acres surrounded by the Shawnee National Forest. Matter of fact, we're up on a big hill, so we're overlooking the forest. And we have a 40-stall barn and also a tack shop and general store.
Mm-hmm.
We sell some, of course, souvenirs, T-shirts, and a lot of tack in there, just things people might break or forget that they might need on a trail ride. And,
hey, Dick, tell us about the T-shirt story. That was a pretty neat story that you shared yesterday.
Oh, yes. When I came here, most places that you travel, you always see a lot of souvenirs. And when I came here in 97, there really weren't any souvenirs for the Shawnee National Forest. So I designed a new logo for Bear Branch and had some T-shirts printed. And I had people from all the different, there's about eight different campgrounds in the Shawnee. And I had people coming from all those different campgrounds buying T-shirts so that they had something that said Shawnee National Forest. So we had people wearing Bear Branch T-shirts in all the other campgrounds.
How funny. Good for you.
The next year, of course, everybody caught on, so little by little, everybody had their own T-shirt.
Didn't take that long, did it?
No, it didn't.
Oh, gosh, that's funny. That is funny. We're going to take just a real quick break. When we come back, we want to talk more about your campground, and then let's talk about the trails and some of the sites that people can see up there, because that's going to be a lot of fun. But we'll be right back to talk with Dick a little bit more about that. And Tina May, you know, when you're out traveling, going on these trail rides, or whether you're going to a horse show, what can happen does happen sometimes. Have you ever had a breakdown out on a highway when you were traveling somewhere?
Well, I haven't had so much of a breakdown, but I did have a blowout on a tire, and I also had a very major accident on my way home. But I'll tell you what, I've got trail guard now, so I don't have any worries.
Well, I think that if you're making your checklist when you're getting ready to go out on the trail or traveling to go somewhere with your horses, you know, your little checklist is, I've got my saddle check, I've got my bridle check, I've got my feed check. In your case, you've got your hot water bottle check, you know. But the other thing that you need to be able to check off is that you have trail guard. And one of the great things about trail guard is if your vehicle breaks down, not only do they tow your vehicle to the dealership that services your vehicle, regardless of the mileage, but they also will provide a second tow vehicle to get your trailer home or to your destination or to some place that's safe while your vehicle is being repaired. So that's unique to Trail Guard. You also have 24-hour coverage in your vehicle, whether you're driving, any vehicle that you drive, or someone driving your vehicle. So that's a pretty cool deal. And they also, this is kind of neat. You know, I decided when I was looking at Trail Guard that they have a 24-hour personal assistant. And
yes,
so, you know, I don't need a wife as long as I have Trail Guard. I have a personal assistant. So anyway, when you're going through your checklist, you know, you need to have Trail Guard. That's 24-hour roadside travel assistance. And we remind you that Trail Guard was founded with one mission in mind, and that's guarding you down life's trails. So learn more about Trail Guard by visiting them at trailguard.org. And when we come back, we're going to be talking with some of the great sites to see in the Shawnee National Forest with Dick Manders. And we're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net.
I grabbed my old blanket. it, ran out right away. Dad cinched up the saddle and handed me the reins. And even though I was so scared, my blanket was right there, made 100 years ago by the hands of the Navajo. Of many a pretty pony, the only real treasure that I own is this old saddle blanket. Well, I've known many horses, rode many a rodeo, took my saddle blanket everywhere I'd go. Its colors may have faded, but it's still as good as new. You can bet I'd never trade it after all that we've been through. And sometimes I still get scared, but my blanket's always there, made 100 years ago by the hands of the Navajo, sold by some old trader on the side of a dusty road. It still holds the hair of many a pretty pony.
May, I found your drum.
Yes, you did. I need that. We need to
talk
about that.
Yeah, but that was Saddle Blanket by Joni Harms, and you're back.
Good
and
song.
We're talking with Dick Manders at Bear Branch Horse Resort, and joining us is Robert Eversole, the Trailmeister, and of course our own Tina May Weber. So, Dick, we want to find out a little bit about some of the trails that you've got up there, because, I mean, I keep hearing about all of these phenomenal places to visit and ride, so tell us a little bit about what you've got up there.
Oh, no, wait a minute.
Okay, go ahead.
Wait a minute. I want him to tell, he didn't talk about his cabins. Some people want to know he's got cabins in his facilities, and then we're going right into those trails, because they've got some awesome trails.
Oh, Tina May.
Oh, yeah.
It's about the ride, not the cabin.
Yeah,
well,
okay.
Well, you know, there's some listeners that, you know, kind of like the coziness. So Dick, tell us about the facilities.
Okay. Well, that's very important, because when I got here, that was one thing that was lacking. We did have campsites, but we didn't have any cabins. And a lot of people would contact me and say, I for sure have to have a stall so my horse is secure, because I'm coming with a group and I'm driving 15 or 20 miles to a motel every night. So I started the second year building cabins right away, and now we have 8 cabins that are fully furnished. 3 of them have full kitchen, living room, dining room, and the others just have kitchenettes, but they sleep all
now,
different
Dick,
amounts of people.
With
yes.
those cabins having kitchens and kitchenettes, I thought you had a great restaurant there.
Well, we did have a restaurant. We did have to shut it down this last year because of severe weather. Had a lot of water damage. So we're not up and running right now. But a lot of people love to cook on their own, and especially the groups, they cook outside and just have a great time as a group. So
yes,
I love cooking on the fire. Right.
I like having other people cook on the fire for me.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that do that, too. You've got a camp cook that stays behind.
That's funny.
I will say this. Trail Guard will provide a 24-hour personal assistant, but I don't think they cook for you, so you got to do your own cooking.
No, they don't.
Darn. And you also allow picket lines, correct? And
yes,
portable tents.
We have. Okay. We actually have picket lines at every campsite, but people are also allowed to bring a corral panel if they want, as long as they put them under the picket areas. So that gives
okay.
a lot of flexibility for your horse.
Okay. All right, now we're going to talk about the trails, because you have lots
yes.
of sites to share at the Shawnee National Forest, and I mean, you've got some awesome, awesome trails.
Yes, we do. Actually, the Shawnee National Forest is one of the smallest ones in the country, 280,000 acres. But
Ooh.
We are lucky enough to have 250 miles of marked, maintained trails. And the trails are awesome. The hills are not real steep like they are in Tennessee, but they're very, very, very picturesque, and there's a lot of rock formations, creeks, and streams. And the trail surrounding Bear Branch, you can actually get to Indian Kitchen, High Point, mm-hmm. Devil's Backbone, Natural Rock Bridge, Saltpeter Cave, Secret Canyon, which is a beautiful area. And then there's also Peter Cave and Buzzard's Roost and Jack
and Nick, a lot of these areas that you just told us about, they're within the Lusk Creek Wilderness. You know, so, you know, it's being a wilderness area, you don't have to worry not only about ORVs or bicycles, it's just horses and hikers, right?
Exactly. That's exactly right. And we don't see too many hikers in the Shawnee, but they are out there. But you're right. We don't have to contend with bicycles surprising your horse. And the scenery is just fantastic. It's very picturesque and a lot of solitude. That's part of the wilderness experience, is peace and quiet.
Can you tell us a little bit more about the kitchen? Because that is just a phenomenal area, and I think our listeners would love to hear about it from your words.
Well, it's
Indian Kitchen, yeah.
It's an area in Lusk Creek again. It's where
mm-hmm.
actually Bear Branch and Lusk Creek meet, right below the kitchen there. And we can ride out there, and it was a fantastic ride all the way along Bear Branch, which is very scenic. And you get out there, and you're up on top of this big bluff, about 90 feet up. And you can tie up your horse and actually walk all the way down to the bottom. And there's a big, deep swimming hole down there. There's a sand beach, and you're swimming below 90 feet of beautiful rock formations. The kitchen itself
just,
is actually
just
at
sounds
the top of
fabulous.
The The kitchen is up on top, and you actually have to kind of walk a ledge along the creek, like I said, 90 feet up in the air, and walk back to a little shelter cave where the creek turns, and that's where the Indians used to store their food.
Oh, wow.
And that's how they could guard it, because there was only one way in, this ledge. And then legend is that the Indians used to drive the buffalo off the top of that ledge, and that's how they got their meat.
Oh, wow.
But the whole
oh,
area
my.
Is just fantastic.
Wow.
You know,
well,
for me, one of the things, not just the riding, but, you know, to learn about the history and to ride through history of an area such as yours is just phenomenal.
Right. There isn't 40 acres that wasn't homesteaded at one time in the Shawnee National Forest.
Uh-oh, did we lose Dick?
Yes. Hello?
Tina May, are you there?
Are you having technical difficulties?
Well, I think Tina May had a technical problem, so she's kind of dropped off the call for just a minute. But
okay.
Dick, tell us a little bit, and she'll be right back, but tell us a little bit more about some of the sites there besides the kitchen.
Well, there's also one of the must-sees is Garden of the Gods. It is a fantastic area. It's something you can ride down below, but a lot of people drive there to see it. And a lot of great rock formations. And it's just a beautiful, beautiful area. I know there's a Garden of the Gods in Colorado that's supposed
right.
to be spectacular.
Right.
But I've had a lot of people tell me that this is much more spectacular than the one in Colorado.
Oh, wow.
Oh, it's
it
beautiful.
It was formed many, many years ago. It was actually all underwater at one time. But it's just hard to describe. It's something you absolutely have to see. But everywhere you ride in the Shawnee, you see rock, and it's all a little bit different. A lot of sandstone that was formed by the glaciers.
What I like about the Shawnee is the fact that you have all the... I mean, it's almost an adventure just to map out your day to plan to see these sites and these some historic places and to know the story behind it. It's just, I just love riding there. It's beautiful. It's neat. It's not just, you know, riding through the woods. You've got things to go see, and the riding itself is beautiful.
And with over 200 miles of trails, you can ride for quite a while.
Absolutely.
Right. There's a lot of loop trails, and each direction you go is different. You see so many different things. So even you ride back, if you ride the same way and then ride back again, it's like a whole new trail ride.
All right. So Dick, so you've told us about some of the great areas, and we've talked about the mileage and stuff. What is Dick Mander's favorite ride in the Shawnee? What is your favorite ride that you enjoy going on?
It has to be Secret Canyon.
And why?
You ride in... Right into that canyon, you're just surrounded by rocks on either side. And one rock formation is more spectacular than the next. And every time I ride it, which I do a lot, or have a lot, you see something different that you didn't see before. So it's really breathtaking.
I bet it's beautiful in the winter after with the icicles and stuff. I bet you it's just breathtaking.
Yes, it is. It really is.
So what are the big seasons?
Well, the riding really starts in earnest in April. Some people come in March, but April is the big boom, and then it just gets busier from there and slows down a little bit in the summertime, and then fall is really the biggest time. The Shawnee National Forest in October is just spectacular with the color and all the rocks. And of course,
if you're a leafer, it's the place to be.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Although early in the spring, before all the leaves bloom out, we have the red buds and then the dogwoods blooming, and you can see so much more of the rock in the forest without the leaves on the trees. So that's a great time to come, too. We have a lot of people that come 2-3 times a year just to see all the different seasons.
Yeah, it always
Wonderful.
Looks different with the seasons, which is kind of neat. Really neat.
Well, I've got another place on my bucket list. I've got a good friend up in Illinois that loves to ride the Shawnee, Keith Keebler. And you may know him, Dick.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, he's been trying to talk me into coming up there for the last couple of years, so it looks like another place from my bucket list, and I'm sure for our listeners out there, and I bet Robert has that on his bucket list now.
You know, this is your Saddle Up America is a bad influence, Gary. I'm just going to tell you. Because every time I listen, I got a new place that I put on the list.
That just means
you
got to live for a long time, Robert.
There you go.
Well, Bear Branch is...
I also want to mention that Bear Branch Ranch is also a Legacy Club member, so keep that in mind when you're booking.
Yeah, I'm one of our Legacy Club sponsors, so we appreciate that. Hey, Dick, as we were talking, one question came to mind. During this past almost 18 years now that you've been there, have you ever found that young lady and thanked her for telling you that you were a big boy to go ahead and take that trip?
Actually, yes. she's been to Bear Branch several times.
Oh, that's great.
We laugh about that story quite often.
That is great. That's great. Well, we're glad that you took her advice and made that trip on your own, and you've improved Bear Branch since you've owned it. And let's tell folks where they can find you. What is your website?
It's bearbranch.com. Pretty simple.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So bearbranch.com. You've got a Facebook page as well, and you can also connect to Bear Branch from equestrianlegacy.net. And they're listed as one of our Legacy Club Select campgrounds. So do that and put Bear Branch Horse Resort on your bucket list because I know I have, and I'm pretty sure Robert has, and Tina May. We just all may have to meet up at Bear Branch sometime this year.
Absolutely. That'd be fun.
Very doable.
We'd love to have you.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm just thinking about the places you've described that I'd like to see and ride, so we look forward to that. Dick, thanks so much for taking time to join us today and share information about Bear Branch Horse Resort and the Shawnee, and I wouldn't be surprised if there are a lot of folks that have you on their bucket list now that have never been up to the Shawnee. So thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure being with you.
All right.
Thank you, Dick.
Bye-bye. Talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. I tell you what, my list just grows and grows and grows. And from Nashville, Tennessee, that's not that far away. So easy to get to. And be sure to check out their website, bearbranch.com, and visit them on Facebook and like their page there as well. And Robert, we're gonna have to kind of stay tuned in to you and see what else LP has to tell you, because I didn't know he was such an intelligent horse.
Well, sometimes I wonder about the intelligence factor, but you know, we'll definitely be consulting him. And he works cheap. He works for carrots and peppermints.
I'll bet you that LP would like you to warm that bit up too before you put it in his mouth.
You know, he taught me early on that he likes me to do that.
Oh, gosh. Well, by the time we keep up with LP and Boo's progress and everything that's going on with the Trailmeister, it's going to be a lot of fun. So give us your website. People need to be able to find the Trailmeister.
Yeah, www.trailmeister.com, the largest horse trail and horse camping directory in North America, and kind of by default, that makes it the largest in the world.
The nicest one, too.
Oh, Tina May is a sweet talker, but she's right.
No, it really is, Robert. You got to give credit where credit is due, and trust me, I use them sites, you know, when I do some traveling, and you have got an A number one site. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. It's a lot of work, but we like it a lot. Something that some of our readers might be interested in, with the widespread use of GPSs and GPS apps, mapping apps, on Trailmeister, you can download and upload not only your routes that you've gone on your trips, but upload and download other people's as well. So kind of a new thing we just added in. So you might want to check out the Rider's Route feature. So there you go. There's a quick blurb.
Well, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. Well, visit trailmeister.com, and you can also connect with them from our website at equestrianlegacy.net. And when you visit his site, sign up for his newsletter because it's pretty cool. I enjoy getting that every month. So that's some great information that Robert shares. And visit him on Facebook and like his page as well. So, Robert, always fun to talk with you. And I guess Tina, we have our own Trailmeister.
We do.
Yeah.
With that, until next month, I'm sure we'll be chatting, but until next month for all our radio listeners, I'll catch you all later. Have safe rides and good rides, and listen to your ponies. I'm sure they'll have interesting things to say if you just listen to them.
You take
all right,
care,
thanks.
Robert.
Thanks, Robert.
All right. Bye-bye, everyone.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
All right. So anyway, a lot of fun. We're going to take another quick break, and we remind you that you're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net. We'll be right back.
She said, I can do that. It wouldn't take nothing but a whole lot of heart, iron will and gumption. I'll just use what the good Lord gave me. So don't call me honey, and don't call me baby. Cowgirl Creed. I dream as big as Texas. Work hard and I'm faithful. I never cease to be amazed. Dedicated and grateful. I try to be a good hand when the hands are needed. And I'll stay that way long as I'm living and breathing. Die with my boots on. I ride high in the saddle, always saddle my own horse. Still I'm every inch a lady, from the outside to the core. I take the trail less traveled, 'cause I know where it leads. I live my life the cowgirl
Cowgirl Creed. And Tina May, that song was written by another one of our good friends, Templeton Thompson. And so that's pretty cool. Cowgirl Creed with Belinda Gale. Hey, we've had a fun show today, haven't we?
Yes, we have.
Yeah,
it's been a good show.
A lot of fun talking about what our horses have to tell us about what we shouldn't do during the winter weather. And great to have Dick Manders on with Bear Branch Horse Resort up in Shawnee National Forest in Illinois. Be sure and check his website out at bearbranch.com. And a lot of good information today with our humor that we included, you know, coming from the horse, but some great information on some things that we need to keep in mind during the winter about what not to do and what to do. So we're looking forward to another great show next week. Who do we have joining us?
Well, next week we have our regular guest every third Tuesday, Susanna Gibson, publisher and founder of Trailblazer Magazine. Then we travel to Love Valley, North Carolina, to a very unique place and talk with Daisy, owner of Trailbusters Camp.
All right, so that's going to be a fun show. Susanna is always fun to talk with. And we look forward to visiting Trailbusters and finding out more about their campground up in North Carolina. We want to remind folks that this Thursday, we have we've really got a neat show lined up. We're going to be talking with our new co-host that's joining us from Santa Clarita, California, Bobby Jean Bell, will be joining us for her second show with us. And our guest mm-hmm. will be Gary Allegretto, who is a very talented Grammy-nominated musician. And we'll talk about his Harmonica Kids program that he has to help kids that are going through some difficult times by the use of music. And then we'll be joined by Susanna De Laurentiis, who is one of the nation's leading horse trainers. And we'll talk with Suzanne and find out more about what they do with Imagine the Horse. And so it's going to be a fun show. And then we'll be having Blessed Trails with our own Belinda Gale on Sunday morning at 9 o'clock. So a lot of great programs coming up. I believe that Mike and Doris Merritt will be her guest for that show this Sunday morning. So be sure and catch us on Thursdays at noon and on Sundays at 9. And of course, Saddle Up America is on every Tuesday at noon as well. We want to remind you about Equestrian Legacy Radio's National Trail Ride to benefit the Fiona Rose Murphy Foundation. And that's June the 4th through the 6th at this beautiful Circle E Guest Ranch just outside of Nashville, Tennessee. It's more than a trail ride this year. In addition to the 120 miles of beautiful trails, this year's event features two nights of concerts with the legendary Michael Martin Murphy, Templeton Thompson, and the Sawdust Brothers. Craig Cameron's Extreme Cowboy Association National Championship is going to be held in conjunction with our event this year. We'll have the Cowboy Up Ball, Vendor Row for some great shopping, and then Cowboy Church on Sunday with Wayne Holt leading that, and Mike and Doris Merritt will be joining us for the music. So they're coming all the way from Oklahoma to participate there. And for details, wow, you can visit our website at equestrianlegacy.net. Make your reservations early because it's booking up quickly. And just got a notice the other day, we had 15 trailers coming from the Panhandle of Texas to come trail ride mm-hmm. with us. And so make your reservations, and you can do all that at equestrianlegacy.net as well. I'm excited to have as our new sponsor for Saddle Up America, Trail Guard, and that's 24-hour roadside travel assistance. Their mission is guarding you down life's trails, and so you can learn more about them at trailguard.org. And with their 24-hour personal assistance, maybe you don't need a wife, maybe you do. But anyway, visit Trail Guard at trailguard.org. Final thoughts, Tina May?
Well, yes, I want all our listeners to join us for that Fiona Rose Foundation ride and Extreme Cowboy Race Finals. It's going to be fun-filled week, and I'd love to meet some of them out there. And also give yourself peace of mind while traveling and join Trail Guard.
Okay, that's pretty cool. Well, you're going to be up there for the trail ride in June, and we've got a lot of folks that have told us they're going to be there, some great vendors with some terrific mm-hmm. shopping, and gosh, I've got more musical artists that keep calling me and wanting to be part of the event, so there's no telling who you may see when you get up there. A lot of these folks are going to be there for the whole time, not just for their concert, so they'll be riding out on the trail. You'll be able to meet these folks, and all of that is to raise money for the Fiona Rose Murphy Foundation, who help children with osteogenesis imperfecta, which is known as brittle bone disease. And so through the efforts and money raised last year, we've been able to help more kids get the surgery that they need. Bones just break. Fiona was born with over 7 broken bones. I mean, she in utero, she had broken bones. So it's a tremendously devastating disease, and this is money that we raise to help these kids and their families. So anyway, good call. It's going to be a lot of fun, a lot to see and do, and that's the first weekend in June. So anyway, it's been a good show. Tina May, you didn't eat while you were on the show today, so that was good. We didn't really talk about food. Yeah, I think
I had
all that
smoothie before we started.
Well, I know you're doing a lot of exercising right now, so people need to be getting in shape for all the trail riding. Yeah, yeah. They need to get in shape for all the trail riding that they've got planned, and visit our Legacy Club Select Campgrounds, and that will kind of help you decide where you want to go this year. So be sure and visit them at equestrianlegacy.net as well. We remind you, as always, if you climb in the saddle,
get ready for the ride.
Get ready for the ride on Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net. And we'll close the show today with Listen to the Wind by the legendary Lacey J. Dalton. Thanks for listening today.
Thought that I'd left love behind, but love is just a state of mind. Listen to the wind, listen to the wind, listen to the wind and the driving rain. Listen close, you hear I'm saying that what goes round will come around again. Listen to the wind. Made a lot of music and it got me high, but Nashville left me high and dry. Listen to the wind. Listen to the wind. I got so cold, I almost froze, but something whispered to my soul. Listen to the wind. Listen to the wind. Listen to the wind and the driving rain. Listen close, you'll hear I'm saying that what goes round will come around again. Listen to the wind. Everybody needs somebody to see them through. Everybody needs someone like I need you. I need you. President, listen to the wind. Listen to the wind. This old world's wild, she won't be tamed. The only thing you can trust to change. Listen to the wind. Listen to the wind. Listen to the wind and the driving rain. Listen close, you hear I'm saying that what goes round come around again. Listen to the wind. Everybody needs somebody to see them through. Everybody needs someone like I need you. I need you. Had a lover out in Santa Cruz, but I left him to sing the blues. Listen to the wind. 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 Listen to the wind.